In the name of the one who was and is to come. Amen. I want to highlight Jeremiah 33 for you today, and I want to remind you of what was just read. And it says in chapter 33, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." I think I love this scripture because it's so contrary to how I often live my life. I have to confess to you that I'm a recovering Eeyore. Probably a recovering Rue as... Oh no. Yeah, I'm probably a recovering Rue, and I often live like that. I cry when things don't go my way. So if you all know Winnie the Pooh, you know Winnie the Pooh is the happy-go-lucky bear that always shows up wherever he needs to be at the right time, and I have never, ever been like that. I want to tell you a story from when I was first dating Kimberly, and I was a personal trainer and resident nutter when it comes to writing crazy things on a piece of paper. You see, before I went to seminary, I wrote a 40-page paper. And I was convinced that the world was going to end, not in a blaze of apocalyptic Jesus glory, but that we were going to run out of oil, and there was going to be a hellscape to be found out of that shortage. And I was absolutely convinced that this was going to happen. Now, I was so convinced that this was happening, I hesitated to even think about having kids. I was that much of a nutter when it comes to this stuff. I tried to find it a couple of weeks ago to think about this sermon, and thank the Lord I could not find that 40-page rambling paper about how the world was going to end because our gasoline ran out. Jeremiah, I think, was probably a bit of an Eeyore too, but he was a little more grounded in his perspective than I was way back then. He writes that a righteous branch will spring up. It's a word of hope, but certainly not of a naive hope. Jeremiah is not someone who looks at the world through rose-colored glasses, but neither does he look at the world through Eeyore-colored glasses. He was able to speak boldly. He got imprisoned for his words, but he kept on going. In chapter 32, he had purchased a piece of land, and he knew that the whole gig was going to be up, that Israel was going to be no more, Judah was going to be destroyed, and all of that they had hoped for, longed for, and dreamed for was going to come to naught. But yet, this guy purchases a piece of land. Now, that's the wrong idea if you're trying to build up a real estate portfolio, especially when the big thugs come in to take it all away. He did this because he believed in the Lord's redemption. Maybe not in his lifetime, maybe not in five lifetimes, but in the grand sweep of history, that the God of Israel would save his people. And so he took this as an act to say, I believe what I'm preaching. I'm going to practice what I preach, even though it will all certainly be taken away. Now, Eeyore is my sort of default setting, but my son Carter has a different perspective. Last summer, when we went to Wyoming, you know, it's a long trip, right, to get to Wyoming because there's a flight to Denver, then there's a car, and then there's all sorts of transitions, and it's a mess. It's a full day's worth of travel. And we had left our neighborhood, North Walnut Bend, and I promise you, we hadn't even gotten to the Beltway until we heard those words. You know what the words are, right? He said, "Are we there yet?" I asked his permission to tell this story. He's like, "Oh yeah, you can tell it." "Are we there yet?" And I, both Kimberly and I, were like, "Yeah, brother, we got a long way to go." Now, his sense of hope and expectation, see, I tend to think that the bottom is going to fall out of everything. I have spent decades recovering from this perspective that certainly the gig is up. It's all going to go south. Everything that I've worked for is going to fall apart. And, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But every time I've turned around, every step I've taken, the Lord has been good to me, to my family, to this church, to this community, and I have to know that the Lord will cause a righteous branch to spring up for me, for my family, for my people, and for this world. Now, Carter's sense of expectation is much more positive because he knows that even though we're only 5 minutes into the journey, that when he gets to Wyoming, he will be in the Lord's country. There will be fishing and sledding and snowing and all sorts of wonderful things depending on the season. But it's his "Are we there yet?" is filled with the sense that he cannot wait to get there. So when Jeremiah writes that a righteous branch will spring up, he's kind of pulled together these two perspectives. A sense like Carter has is maybe a little bit of a naive hope that everything's going to be working out just fine. And at the same time, Jeremiah, with his perspective, knows that everything's not going to be just fine. But he knows that the Lord in whom he hopes is going to restore his people in God's good timing. Jeremiah's hope is a tenacious, well-deserved hope. It's been shaken and stirred, it's been rocked and it's been rolled, but is a hope nonetheless. So as we move into Advent, I want to offer you one prayer, one hope for you, is that you do not buy what fear is selling. It will take your life, it will take your family, it will destroy everything you hope for if you buy what fear is selling. Now, fear comes in many, many different forms. It might be fear of losing security. It might be fear over the world. It might be fear over ISIS or Syria or the state of the next presidential election. But it's all fear nonetheless. So please, for the love of our Lord and Savior who causes a righteous branch to spring up amidst his people, please do not buy what fear is selling. It's a bad drug dealer. It will take over your life. It will destroy everything you hope for. And we have the power to say, mm-mm. No matter what you do, no matter what happens to me, I will believe in the Lord who brings redemption for his people. I believe in the Lord who is coming again with power and great glory, who has come in power and great glory to make his people new. So in this Advent, we celebrate Jesus coming back. We celebrate big Jesus, right? Big, strong Jesus who will restore the world and all things, make them all new. And we celebrate vulnerable and humble little baby Jesus. And we're trying our very best to hold those two things in tension. And I'm hoping you can do the same thing with hope. That through your experiences, you can choose to hope for the Lord who will make all things new. Maybe not today. Maybe not next week, but it is an absolute certainty that our Lord is coming for his people, coming to restore his people, and to make them his children and his beloved. Amen.